We have embarked on a two-part series in our services of worship today, following what has been popularly known as the parable of the prodigal son, which we saw this morning could also be called the parable of the loving father or the forgiving father. And I invite you to turn at this time into Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and pick up the reading at verse 11, where we'll read through those verses once again to refresh our memories and to guide us in the passage at this time. Luke chapter 11 and verse 15. I'm sorry, 15 and verse 11. And he said, there was a man, that is Jesus, said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, severe famine rose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. The verses that follow will be the focus of our message this afternoon on the older son who was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in, and his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother of yours, your brother, was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And we're going to find the focus of our text in verse 32. This morning we focused on 24, but I want you to notice that those verses are identical. Where we read in verse 24, he says, for this my son, he now says, he's addressing the son, and he said, this your brother. This your brother was dead and was alive. He was lost and is found. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we had an opportunity to reflect on the attitude and the focus our attention on the younger of the two sons, the one whom we often refer to as the prodigal son who left physically and returned, and we saw the correlation to that between those of us who in our own spiritual walk with God have a tendency to wander away spiritually, if not physically, from our Father in heaven and are called upon to return home once again, and we saw how the son made a request of his father for the inheritance, for property in particular, for that part to be given to him. And then upon receiving that, he leaves home in verses 13 to 16. And then in verses 17 to 19, he repents. And upon his return, the father receives him and forgives him and has a celebration for him in the final verses of 23 and 24. And now we have a movement in the parable where we see that there's a focus not only on the younger son, but there's another son. There's an older son. And we are going to see in our message for this afternoon that there are aspects about the older son in which he really also has wandered away, spiritually at least, from God. But certainly even wandered from his father. He may have stayed at home, but in his physically on the outside, but on the inside, he also has a sense of rebellion against his father, resentment, and we will see that. In verses 25 to 28, we get the account there of a sibling rivalry that takes place. I think we all know about sibling rivalry, don't we? I'm looking at many families here, some with smaller children and some with youth as a part of the family. And you can think back to your own upbringing, and you know that there will always be those moments in which there will be a clash between brother and sister, or between sisters, or between brothers in the family. It happens. It's a part of growing up. And it's a part of what we need to learn in terms of how to manage those kinds of conflictive kind of situations that can happen and how to get over some of those things and how to manage those kinds of things. But that's not the main lesson that is a part of this story. However, there is an element that needs to be identified as a part of that. I want you to imagine. The young son, the older son, is out working in the fields, been out there since the morning. And throughout that morning, the younger son has arrived home after a long time away. We don't know how long. And he has been received by his father, by their father. And their father has arranged for a marvelous celebration to take place. The son has no idea about this while he's out working the fields, the older son. And the older son now is coming back in towards the farm. It's lunchtime. The dinner bell has rung. And he's coming in for his lunchtime, and he's hearing all kinds of noise and celebrations that are taking place. And we read in this story, in the first verses there, in this parable that Jesus speaks, that the son says to one of the servants, what's all the commotion about? Well, says one of the servants, well, guess what? Your brother has come home, and there's a celebration going on with regards to that. And the rivalry begins. The son, the older son, doesn't say, are you kidding me? Where is little Johnny? I want to welcome him home. I want to embrace him. Rather, there is quite a different reaction, isn't there? He won't even go in to join in on the celebrations. Dad notices that he's at the edge over there talking to the servants over there. So Dad goes out and entreats him, begs him, says, son, come on in. Your brother has come home and we are celebrating. Come on in. The father basically recognizes that his son has a problem and he says to him, but what's your problem? Why won't you come in? There's a sense in which, of course, then we see that the younger son had wandered physically, but the older son also had his issues with his father and the way things were going on the farm and on the business that they were operating shows definite signs of having gone on a journey too, doesn't he? We might also call him the prodigal son, if you will, because in his heart he also had left the father and done his things that were probably not always respectful of his father. On the outside, the older son will have done everything that his father said. But on the inside, there was resentment that was brewing. I suppose it might be very much like a child who you are disciplining. And as you discipline the child, you say, okay, Mary, I'm going to pick on a Mary this time, not on a Johnny, right? Mary, I want you to stand in the corner because you have been naughty, and I want you to face that corner for 10 minutes so that you can think about what you have done. And I can imagine Mary pouting, going to the corner, turning around and say, I may be standing in the corner on the outside, but on the inside, I'm not standing in the corner, right? We do have that going on. That sense of rebellion that's a part of us. We don't like the discipline that takes place in us. It's reflected in our own lives as well. There are times in which we feel like we have been wronged, perhaps, when we feel like things have just not been fair, and we say, it's just not fair, and we hear others saying, well, life is not fair. But that's not always satisfying to us in our own human nature, and in which we want to be treated fairly, and everything has to be just and honest and right in our own lives, and it doesn't always happen that way. Maybe someone has said an unkind word towards you, or someone has cheated you or falsely accused you. Maybe someone has said something about your spouse. You can say, well, you can say anything you want about me, but don't you talk to me about my wife like that. Right? Or my husband, or my child, right? And we are pained and we are hurt by that, and we get resentful and we get very angry at the person who has created that conflict for us in our own lives. And don't we oftentimes also get into a situation where when there's a resolution that's taken place, we almost say, no, really, I don't want that resolution to take place. I want to feel bitter towards him or her for what he or she has done. And then we are called upon to ask to forgive them, and we say, well, okay. And outwardly, again, we may say with our lips, I forgive you. But then in our own hearts, we really have not forgiven them, because we are kind of secretly saying, I forgive you, but I hope God punishes you for what you did. Right? That's not true attitude of forgiveness. This is some of what the resentment of what the older son is dealing with in his own life, in the attitude that he has. There is a question here in this story on the part of both sons and on the reflection of the father of a reflection on the spiritual maturity that is going on. Because you and I in our own hearts and lives also have that sense in which we may feel that God is not dealing with us fairly in our lives. We may have things happen to us or to loved ones in our lives and say, this just can't be right. It just doesn't seem right. And we become very bitter and angry. And we talk to other people about it and how much that bothers us and so on. In verse 29 and 30, we see some of the older son's reaction provided to us in the words that he gives, that he speaks to his father. Consider in verse 29 what he says to his father. When his father comes out and says to him, son, why aren't you going in? And in verse 29 he begins with, but he answered his father saying, look, these many years I have served you and I have never disobeyed your command. These many years I have slaved. Actually, the word more correctly translated is slave. Do you hear and sense and feel the resentment that the older son feels? I have done everything that you have asked me to do, and look what my younger son does. Going off and doing his own thing, and now you're rewarding him for that? Seriously, Dad? Is that fair? After I have been slaving for you all these years, obediently? With this resentment, we can begin to see the dark shadow of discontent in the part of the son. Sure, he has stayed on the farm and he has worked, but has he done so out of a sense of gratitude? After all, he has 2/3 of the property, doesn't he, of the inheritance. And his younger son had 1/3 and now has none third. None of it, because he squandered it. And rather than being grateful for the opportunity he has to be able to take on the responsibilities of the farm as time goes on, he's resentful to his dad, and he's begin showing that resentment by saying, giving him the sense of the fact that he has not been working alongside of his father. He has not been working alongside his father in order to be to help his father along, or have his father help him along and taken over the business or the enterprise or the farm or the properties, whatever they had at the time, but rather he feels like he has been just slaving, doing this all out of slavery. And then he says, all these years I have been your servant, and I have never been disobeyed your orders. I have been always faithful to you. You get a sense here of out of which the son is doing all of this for his father out of a sense of obligation. He's obedient. Yes, he is. But is that obedience really coming from his heart? It's a false obedience. He's expected to do it, so he does it. But now remember who Jesus is speaking to, who are a part of the crowd. Remember that we looked at that this morning in chapter 15, verse 1. The Pharisees are there, the scribes are there, the rulers of the law are there, the teachers of the Jewish traditions. And they're the ones who have always had those long, long, long lists of rules and regulations. And they were the ones who were convinced that as long as you do what is right, do the things that are expected of you, then you will be granted favor in the eyes of God. And Jesus is looking directly at them now when he says, this youngest son is a reflection of who you are. Never disobeying your orders, Dad. And the Pharisees saying, we've been following these regulations, tit for tat, all the way along. Surely we are doing well in the eyes of God, never realizing that there's a deeper love that the Father has for us than just that which requires and insists on a love based on obedience of each and every one of us, except for the obedience that was offered up on the cross by Jesus Christ in a perfect way. We think this through and begin to understand that there's a sense in which obligation breeds resentment in our lives. When we feel that we are moving along only because of the obligation, we will become resentful. And that's what was happening to this older son. Love, however, in that place breeds more gratitude. If the brother, older brother, had been doing this because he loves his father and his parents and he appreciates what's going on in the farm and wants to do this out of love, there will be a sense of gratitude coming through. What a privilege I have to be able to do this. There'll be more of a sense of compassion that would be going on. When we think this through for ourselves and our own lives, we need to be reminded of the fact that Christianity is not just a set of rules and regulations. Do this and don't do that. Oh, there are guidelines that we need to be living by. We talked about that this morning when we went through the Ten Commandments. There are those things that which we need to show our love for God, and there are those things that we need to do in order to show our love for our neighbor as for ourselves out of thankfulness, not out of obligation. The older son had not heard that and understood that. And so he follows through in verse 29. He answered his father, look, these many years I've served and never disobeyed your command, and yet, he says, you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. Seriously? The father had not given him one goat when he had given him two-thirds of all that they had? Everything that's there is the son's. That was what was left over from the inheritance, the two-thirds part. And yet the son is looking for reasons to rebel and to show his resentment towards his father. There's a sense of selfishness going on in this young son, and the older son. Everything there was his, but he wants to get back at his father for what he has done and with open arms receiving his younger brother or as he puts it, his father's son. We'll get to that. And we begin to understand that some of this is a part of what we go through in our own lives too. We have everything that we need. God has given to us, provides for us. We have a God who provides everything that we need spiritually, physically, emotionally in our lives. And when we trip up, we need to ask him. All these things God will give to us. Seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. God is a good God who provides those things that we need. And where we are lacking in any one of these areas, and sometimes we do struggle with those things emotionally and physically, we're not always as well to do as we think that we ought to be. Spiritually, we are not always on the right track as we ought to be. We need to always turn to the one who is the source of all good things that provides for us in our lives. And we need to ask ourselves, are we sometimes like the older son who is resentful, has a sense of obedience out of obligation, selfish? And then we read this last part of his answer, in which he says in verse 30, notice how he refers to his younger brother, but when this son of yours came. Is your son, Dad, not my brother? He had disowned him. The father had not disowned his son. The father says to the son in the earlier verses, this, even the servants had said that too, hadn't they? They said, your brother has come home. And the father says to the son, now your brother has come home. But the son says, now when this son of yours comes home, I suspect that sometimes we as parents can jokingly say that about our children when little Hank has been naughty or has been disobeying. I might be able to say to my wife, your son is not behaving properly. All right? She might say to me, this is your daughter who is doing these kinds of things, right? We have a tendency to jokingly disown them, but we know better, don't we? And the older son should have known better too. And yet, he demonstrates this. And it's interesting to see the difference that is there when we see that the son, the older son then, really shows some of that same rejection of his younger brother. Dismisses him, disowns him. And even the worst of that then is, I don't know if it's the worst, but it's certainly a further thing, that he says, when this son of yours came and has devoured your property, there's truth to that, he used all the property, but he says, he's devoured your property with prostitutes. Do you read anywhere in the earlier section where it says that the younger son was hanging out with prostitutes? He may very well have been, but we don't know that for sure. But this son is going to slander his younger brother's name by saying, he's out there and he's spending his time with all these prostitutes and all the money and so on, and you reward him. We see there once again that the son just has it in. The older son has it in for his younger brother. He's bitter. And that bitterness that is a part of the son's life, the older son, is like a cancer that goes into the whole system. It's a gangrene. You and I need to be reflecting on that for ourselves as well, because as we respond to different things that happen to our own lives, if we respond with bitterness, with resentment, with selfishness, this is going to permeate everything that we think. And it's going to affect everything that we say. And it's going to have an influence on everything that you do, your actions. It will affect your heart. And where your heart is, there are your thoughts and your speech and your action. It's time for us to be reflecting on this older son and ask ourselves, where is my heart? The older son's heart was not really with the family farm. It was with himself, thinking about himself selfishly. What's in it for me? And it's not fair that someone else gets something that I don't have. Just not fair. The call of our God to us is to be reminding ourselves that we need to be careful not to have that same kind of bitterness and resentment in our own lives, as we go through our lives. So how does the father respond? In verses 31 and 32, we can first of all just remind ourselves how the father responded to the younger son, if we can just go through a quick review of that. You remember that with the request that the younger son gave for the properties, that the father responded with a tough love. He let him go, let him do his thing till he would come to his senses. A tough love. Am I doing something wrong with my earpiece? I just want to make sure. So that's how the father responds to the request of the younger son. And then when the younger son leaves home, we are reminded of the fact that the father responds to that particular situation by keeping an eye out for his son. He continually prays for him. He's continually to watch for his son, his younger son. That's another part of the character of the father that's reflected in God the Father as well. And when the younger son repents, the father does not say to him, it's too late, you've done what you've done, I've disowned you, and you are on your own now, son, you've got nothing left. Go ahead and find out how you're going to come out of this one by yourself. But his father listens to his confession, and as we read about when the son comes home, he not only listens to the confession, he cuts him off. Remember that this morning, he wouldn't even let the younger son say, I want to become one of your servants. No. You are not one of my servants. You are my son. And you will remain my son. And will always be my son. That will never change. Isn't that how God the Father says and relates to us as well when he makes his promise to provide for us and to be there for us? What a wonderful reflection of God the Father. So now then, the father responds in verses 31 and verse 32 to the older son. And he, that is the father, said to him, that is the older son, son, well, let's just stop there first of all. That's the unconditional love that the father shows. Not only for the younger son, but for the older son too. You are my sons. Nothing will change that. I bore you. I raised you. You are my son. I might not always be happy with the things that you do, but you are my son. He addresses him, my son. And he says, son, you are always with me. Not only does he recognize him as son, but he accepts him. That's a note of acceptance on the part of the father. You're always with me. You are always in my mind. I'm always thinking about you. No matter what your attitude, no matter where you're thinking, what you're thinking, when the younger son was gone, I was always thinking about him. And when you were gone in your attitude towards me, I was always still thinking of you and praying for you. Always there, accepting you and wanting to have you reconcile what's going on in your lives. And then the father responds further. And he says, all that is mine is yours. That's a reminder of a promise kept. I promised you you're going to have the 2/3 that is remaining from the properties that are here. I said that was yours. Everything that's here, I'm keeping through on my promises. It's yours. The loving Father in heaven says the same thing to each and every one of us. Everything that I have, everything that I've promised to you, I will keep my promises. You may break your promises. That's called sin. But I will always stick with my promises because I am the same yesterday. I am the same today. I am the same forever. In the book of Hebrews, we read about that. And so he continues, and he says, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad. There's a reason to celebrate, because this, your brother, and I want you to see that now, this brother of yours, he doesn't say, this my son, as the older brother referred to his younger brother, your son has come back. But the father says, no. He's your brother. He is your brother, and we need to celebrate. There's a sense in which the father is instructing and guiding and nurturing the older son to correct his attitude, to correct his heart, to help to guide him along in order to have the proper attitude towards the way he was supposed to be acting on the farm and towards him as a father. This brother of yours, and then of course the words of our text, was dead and is alive, he was lost and is found. What a lesson we have from the younger son who wanders physically away from his father and comes home. And the older son who wanders more in the attitude, not physically. And we don't know the response of the older son. We don't read about that in the story. So we're not going to conjecture what the response of the older son might be. However, here's where we need to be asking ourselves about that third son. And I already see you looking in your books here, your Bibles here in the passage and saying, maybe chapter 16? No, don't see it there. Who's that third son? Or daughter? That would be you and me. We need to be asking ourselves, in what way do I have the same kinds of attitudes that the younger son has? Some of you may be able to identify more with the younger son. Others of you may be able to identify more with the older son. Always been doing what is right and good, but not always with the right attitude. Some of you may say, well, there are some things about the young son that I can identify with. Not all, but there are also some things from the older son that I can identify with that I need to do some work on in my life. The important thing to notice here is that Jesus is speaking these words to the Pharisees, yes, and the scribes, but he's also speaking them to the ears of those who are his disciples and his followers, the crowds that are there. And in doing so, he's speaking those words to each and every one of us. And he's saying to you, son, daughter, child of mine, how is your relationship with me as your father? Do you have an attitude problem? Are you resentful? Do you have a sense of obligation that's breeding greed and selfishness within you? Each one of us needs to take the time to reflect on that in our own personal lives. I can't do that for you. But it's an opportunity for each one of us to read this story through, read about the first son, read about the second son, read about the response of the father, knowing that when we respond to our father in a way that he calls us to, he will also promise to respond to us. He's always our father. What a comfort that is for us in our own lives. People of God, when we read this parable, let's put ourselves into this parable and ask ourselves, where do I fit? And what is my story of the pilgrimage, the spiritual pilgrimage that I have with God? And if you have wandered, God is calling you back. If you have wandered and have come back, we have reason to give thanks to God. It's not because of what you have done. If you are thinking about wandering, let's hook you back in and remind you about what will happen and how that will be if you're thinking about wandering and struggling with these things for yourself in your life. Because we need to be reminded that God is our covenant Father. And we are his children, and we're called upon to follow him as he calls us to. Amen. Let's pray.